Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Vuse is smooth, consistent, and intentionally simple. It's vapor done right. Because when you're free to focus on what really matters, everything just clicks. Find Vuse, that's V-U-S-E, Vuse, at your favorite convenience store.
Underage sale prohibited. Vuse is a vapor product. Website restricted to age 21 plus tobacco consumers. Copyright 2026 RJRVC.
I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers, eating fresh rules. Call me private label.
Welcome to episode 270 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And it is a wonderful time to be with all of y'all. Hey, as always, hit that thumbs up. Tell everybody we're live so they can go ahead and start suppressing us. But they don't want to do it tonight. And folks, I'm telling you, you definitely, look, if you got a young lady around the house, if you got a lady around the house, if you got anybody around the house, young man, I don't care what it is, tell your... Hide your husbands, hide your wives. get them all out there because honestly, the guest we have tonight is, I'm not even lying when I say, look, I've been in the radio business for a long, long time, whether it was terrestrial radio at KMBZ in Kansas City or whether doing the podcasting. And I've never had a more difficult time of trying to figure out the questions to ask a guest, not because I haven't done my work. It's because she's so multifaceted and so interesting that I didn't even know where to start because you have a narrow band of time. And I'm like, well, what do I ask to maximize? I mean, folks, I've interviewed a lot of people out there. So this is one I'm really looking forward to, but we'll come to her in a minute. Hey, like I said, hit that thumbs up on the way in, y'all. You're going to be glad you checked it out. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And don't forget to check out the Living Soil Foundation. That's our nonprofit that we started to basically clean up Western North Carolina, folks. We're going to need all the help in the world, but I spent yesterday with a room of patriots that absolutely blew my mind. We'll come to that in another episode, but coming up March 18th through the 22nd, Shalom Temple is going to be putting on a 5-day immersion event, and the keynote speakers there are going to be Barbara O'Neill and Jonathan Otto. Interviewed Jonathan last night. Folks, you're going to want to check that out. That's going to be here in Western North Carolina. Also, coming up May 2nd through the 4th, mountainreadiness.com. You want to go check them out. I was just hanging out with T the other night at a movie premiere, and I'm telling you, folks, if you want to learn a part of homesteading preparedness that you're not going to find at any other festival, you want to check this out. I'm talking everybody from, you name the operator, special forces, rangers, sappers, you name it, all of them right there in one place, and they are doing classes that you're not going to find anywhere else. So you're going to want to check that out. That's May 2nd through the 4th. And then, as always, this episode brought to you by, I'm going to handle all the stuff up front because I'm not going to be doing any commercial breaks with this guest. I guarantee that. MyRedLight.com, BBF, will get you BBBF, Billy Bond, Black Friday.
I think it's Billy Black Friday or Black Friday Billy.
Three B's and an F. Let's just go with that one. 10% off with Jonathan Otto at those red light things, y'all. I'm telling you, I am G'd up from the feet up using these red lights every day. I'm all about the biohacking, and my guest is going to be able, I guarantee, to talk about a lot of that too. And then also Redemption Shield. Michelle, where are your feet right now? Nope, they're not even on there. Yep, grounded.
You still have shoes on.
I do not.
You do.
These are grounded shoes. So
they're not.
Well, anyway, look, y'all, Redemption Shield is going to give you 10% off with all their grounding stuff over there with promo code PERMA. Let's not forget about EMP Shield, y'all. 27-year journeyman IBEW electrician, and I know my stuff when it comes to this. So go over there, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. And don't forget about what I got right here. Remember I had on Linda the other day. I had people unsubscribing because you thought I had on an Apple Watch. This is a Wave Watch. Can you dig it? And it's bombarding my body. excuse me, with solfeggio tones all day long. So look, folks, I practice what I preach when it comes to this stuff. And with this wave watch, you can get $100 off with Billy 100. And no, they are not cheap, and nothing worth having is. All right, now that I got all that out of the way, folks, like I said, check out our advertisers. You're going to be glad you did, because they help fund a lot of what this show is all about. And I want to thank everybody who sent checks in the mail. And I mean, some of them pretty hefty, y'all. They go to every dime you donate is going to the cause. Okay. So check out the Living Soil Foundation. Right now we got a GoFundMe. What's up with the website? Still waiting on that?
Yeah, he's still working on it.
Okay. So we're going to have a website coming up before too long. Okay. Like I said, folks, I kind of teased it out a little bit ago. We're going to go into our guest, Mariah Prusha. Like I said, of all the people I've ever interviewed in my life, she was by far the most difficult, because I'm like, I got this narrow band of time to be able to interview somebody. I was on with her the other night on her show, and she has a wide array of so many doggone things. I got a bio and the whole nine yards of her. I mean, she was Mother of the Year 2020 and a professional fighter, business owner, raising a couple of kids by herself, and doing all of this stuff and doing things, folks. If you think your life is tough or you think you've had a hard time, well, I think she's going to help straighten out some of those loose ends for you. How you doing, Mariah?
Hey, you know, I'm just out here living the dream in the frozen tundra.
Yeah. And do you care to tell everybody where that frozen tundra is? Because when Pat told me where it was, I was like, nah, bro, I don't think so.
Yeah, we live out in North Dakota, so we just got 6 to 7 inches of snow. So prior to the show, I was out snow blowing a little bit. But when you live on a farm with a long driveway, I'm not doing the whole thing right now when it's still snowing and blowing.
Oh, no. All right. So every superhero has an origin story. And look, we both watched your documentary, the documentary that was made about it. I mean, and folks, by the way, everybody, especially if you have a young lady who thinks that she should be condemned into the domestic dullness that everybody in the world, especially in the homesteading world, says that you have to be, you're going to want to watch this documentary. If you have a young girl who thinks, okay, well, I don't know what my direction in life ought to be, you ought to check this out. And I'm talking young men too. I related so much with your story, even got a little bit choked up there for a while. And, I did that while you were she was in the health food store, and I was out there watching this thing in the truck, and I'm sitting here. I'm like, okay, yeah, let me dry this up before she gets back in here. So, you got an incredible, incredible story. So why don't you give everybody, take as long as you need, tell everybody about your background.
A little bit about my background is I grew up on a farm. So that's how we kind of connected to, as regards to like when you're looking at permaculture. But for me, I have always been driven to learn more, driven to become more. And with life, we have different chapters that, you know, they can make you or they can break you. And sometimes you feel like you're broken, but at the end of the day, you have a choice to pick up the pieces and put them back together, or stay in that spot, stay on that X. And I can tell you one thing in life, I never want to stay on that X. So for me, I went to college, played 3 sports in college. After that, I dove into literally personal training, living the dream, but I ended up becoming into more of an unhealthy relationship that I didn't recognize at first. And for women who are listening here, it's not something that you see right away. It's something that happens over time. And if you're an individual that hasn't really defined what love is, you're going to think that it's either from a physical perspective, a verbal in regards to words and communication, or just different ways that you're treated. So if there's a day or a moment where you experience something, whether it's physical abuse, whether it's emotional, whatever that stems from, then there's always something warm and fuzzy that comes after, so that you brush it underneath the rug like it's nothing. They still love me. It was just, okay, they slipped. What I can tell you is this: if somebody lays their hands on you, and if somebody is verbally abusive to you and not respecting who you are as an individual, whether you're male or female, because it happens in both and in each relationship, is really define and understand what is your worth And when you start instilling that and taking steps, you know, one day at a time on finding that internal power and that faith, that's really when things start coming into play. And the sad thing when it comes to domestic violence is most people don't realize that it takes an average female 7 times to leave, to actually leave the relationship, which is pretty scary when you look at the stats.
Dreadful. I mean, and so many out there are dealing with these, in these awful circumstances, and they feel like they don't have a way out. I mean, I've talked to the audience before about, you know, with my background, I mean, my family just essentially put the funk in dysfunctional. I've talked about it before. And it's amazing what you think is normal, or at least what I thought was normal. And, you know, and that's why I'm saying, guys, I mean, you ought to be able to relate to a lot of what she's going on, what she's talking about right now. So, Mariah, you found your way out of that. And folks, I mean, we're going to hopefully, like I said, the frustrating part is we're definitely going to have her back, because there is no way on earth you cover anybody who's done as much as she has in the amount of time that we have. So we'll get as much as we possibly can. So you found yourself in these awful circumstances. You found your way out, and it's documented, of course, in that documentary film. And you made a transformation, and you could even see it physically, I think, even in the pictures that you had. I mean, from a physical standpoint, you could see it. And obviously, there was a switch that happened in you mentally. Can you walk us through how that went down? I mean, what made that change? Because so many people that find themselves, whether it's in domestic violence or whether it's in, you know, you grew up being abused as a kid, as I was, or any number of things, you just kind of find yourself there. And then it seems like for the rest of our lives, we're on autopilot until we have a reason to do otherwise. What was your motivation?
Well, I can say first and foremost, a lot of people didn't realize that what was going on behind the scenes, because I owned my own gym, right? So I'm personal training, empowering and educating individuals on how to become their strongest self. And then I would be going home to clearly an unhealthy situation. So when it came to the relationship itself, for me, what ended up happening, it was a lot of jealousy that would end up occurring. I played a lot of softball. I would travel almost every weekend, where I would get over 200 plus different phone calls or text messages during the time that I was gone, leaving on a Friday and then getting home on a Sunday. And if I did not pick up that phone, he instantly thought that I was with another individual, when in all reality, throughout the entire relationship, he was with multiple women, to find out later, which usually ends up happening. But for me, after I decided to break off the relationship, there was a breaking point. At that point, our son was about a year and a half. I had already broken up with the individual, and I had gone out with a friend. And I just said, you know what, I want you to watch our son. I may or may not come back tonight, because if I have any type of alcoholic beverages, I'm not driving, right? End of story. I was at my friend's house. He was calling and calling and calling and calling. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, there was extreme honking outside of her apartment. And here he was right outside. And in my head, I'm instantly going, where is our son? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. What is going on here? So I ended up driving home at that point, because I wanted to see where my oldest son is now. At that point, there was a major flip there. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Enough with J-Lo in it. That was my shifting point, where she was in an abusive marriage. She had a child. She wanted to get out. He was following her left and right and was basically going to try to kill her to get their kid. For me, it was different. The moment that he laid his hand on me when I was holding my son, there was a switch. I'm not a weak female by all means. My ex is clearly a little bit shorter than I, and that was the first time that I ever put my hands on him. I'm not condoning what I did, but I literally grabbed him by the neck, lift him up off his feet, and said, I'm done. This is never going to happen again. That was a major turning point for me, is because if you are touching me while I'm hanging on to our son, we've got a problem. We need to break the cycle. And that was the key thing for me, is I had to make sure that my children were in a healthy home and breaking that tie. So that was my duty as a mother, where after I broke up or got out of that relationship, I was stalked for a couple of years, where I literally would be staring out my bedroom window every single night, wondering when he was going to come to my door. By the grace of God, thankfully, he ended up finding an individual. But from that moment, I knew moving forward in my life that I was never going to live in fear again. And here we are today is, you know, my mantra is define the fight. Until you define the fight, how do you expect to win the fight? And I made sure that my fight and my vision was clear moving forward.
Now,
I have a question for her. Before you move on, I just was wondering, for everybody that knows women in that situation who, for one reason or another, they've decided not to leave, how best do you support or do you be there for somebody that chooses to stay in that situation when they haven't decided to leave?
I think we stay in situations long enough for us to learn the lesson. We can't tell somebody when they need to leave, why they need to leave. But what we can do is support them with love and also provide them different ways or different outlets that resources that can help them. So when we look at levels of abuse, what does that look like? Yes, you've got physical. Yes, you have emotional. You also have financial. So I think for women, you know, depending on the situation that they're in, I've personal trained many clients, thousands of clients, and some it may have been financial where they're like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. And plus I have kids. Or the other stream is just the fear of they've got such deep hooks within them that they do feel like it's love. So it's slowly retraining the brain on defining what that piece is, and then helping them slowly move forward on whatever that exit plan is going to be.
Now, Mariah, you're the first, as I understand it, you're the first pro fighter from Fargo, North Dakota, whether in boxing and mixed martial arts. What was your motivation? Because clearly you weren't doing that in college. I mean, and as I understand it, being something of a fan of the sport back in the day, I mean, doing the work I do now, of course, I don't get to follow it like I would like to. It seems to me that you got in at this thing at an age that where a lot of fighters are thinking about exiting. So how did you make that transition? And, I mean, you were clearly great at it. I mean, what was the motivation for doing that? Was it because of this domestic violence?
Not at all. And I think a lot of people link that automatically to it. Like, okay, she's got some fight in her because she's got some anger. She wants to release those things. The reality is it turned out to be kind of a fluke. One of my clients, I taught cardio kickboxing. She had said, Mariah, do you know my son? I'm like, I have no idea who your son is. She said, well, his name is Dane Sayers and he fought on Spike TV, you know, fighting mixed martial arts. I think that you should meet him. I'm like, sure, absolutely. So I met him. And like I said, I was not a spring chicken going into the sport. I didn't start training until I was 36, which is very, very uncommon. But when I met him, young 24-year-old, thought he was the big dog, right? And the whole goal and intention was to learn from him, to incorporate different combinations into my current classes, and then also to add that into my personal training, into my one-on-one sessions. After meeting him, I decided to get a couple training sessions from him. Now, this is not the typical training environment that you would start. So he invited me over to his trailer house. I made sure that I had an individual that came with me. In the middle of the living room floor was a wrestling mat. And he goes, all right, Mariah, we're going to start with Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So what I want you to do is lay on your back and wrap your legs around me. I said, can I get your last name first? Totally awkward. It was the most uncomfortable I have probably ever been in my entire life. But I'm like, okay, my friend's here. My other friend is coming. I think I'll be okay. And after that session, we then went into striking, which was at my gym. And he goes, Mariah, I really think that you should fight. And I said, you know what? Give me a couple details. And I said, you know what? I've always wanted somebody to hit me first. It never happened. And now provided with an opportunity to train and get into the cage and actually fight, I'm like, all right. The crazy thing is with the journey for me is that was in February of 2013 when I committed to fighting. In June of the same year, I completely tore my Achilles tendon. And after having surgery, the very next day I went back to training on one leg. I sat on a physio ball, throwing strikes. I did Brazilian jiu-jitsu from the ground, learned different hand positioning, whatever I could do, and had to create different types of cardio for me since I couldn't run. Was it a challenge? Absolutely. But I knew that I had already had my first fight set up for October 26th of that same year. So you don't hear of somebody training like from February to October and then their fight is already happening. But I knew I didn't have a very big window of time. So I'm like, all right, I'm all in. Let's do this. So with the Achilles tendon tear, it was crazy. So being a single mom, on crutches, hanging on to my child, crutching it into the house, having a walker to kneel on inside the house, putting him into the crib and, you know, push mowing my lawn. I've got it on YouTube where I strapped my walker to my push mower so that I could push mow my lawn. And the crazy thing is I hit the curb of the, or the edge of the sidewalk and my walker collapsed. So for me, it was like, okay, no matter what obstacle is going to be put in my way, I'm going to find a way to navigate through it. So that's literally how my fight career started, was by a member introducing me to her son and then just taking the bull by the horns and diving in.
Now, how do you stay mentally strong and motivated? I mean, okay, first of all, you suffered pressures. And folks, I highly encourage everybody to go check out the documentary. I mean, we'll leave it linked here below. And by the way, hit that thumbs up if you can. Sorry about the noise in the background, y'all. We got one of her dogs that's tripping outside this door right now. So if you hear anything in the background, you know where it came from. But, you know, and you dealt with things, honestly, that, I mean, the kind of pressures that would basically put somebody on the counselor's couch for a lifetime. And I just want to know, I mean, at the same time, managing a business, I mean, you have a radio career, you got a podcast thing going. I mean, you have more jobs than a Jamaican. I've never seen somebody have so many different facets and be good at all of them. I mean, not just you, I could tell by the way you do your radio show that, you know, you're not just somebody who just walks in there. Okay, give me my check. I'm just going to go here, sit behind the mic. I mean, you do a little bit of research on some folks, and I just want to know, I mean, how do you stay mentally strong and motivated through all of these, whether it was the adversity in the cage or cutting weight at the same time? You got two young boys that obviously have to be looked after. You were mother of the year, so clearly they don't just give that to anybody. I mean, how do you stay motivated and do all of this? And when on earth do you sleep?
Well, I can say is this, people drive me. I know that in life, our mission, or my mission, your mission, is larger than ourselves. And when we recognize that, I think everything comes into play. But for me, I love everything that I do. I feel that I was put on this earth to empower people to take that step, that leap of faith, to find what is that red line. Push yourself to that red line, because we don't know what our full potential is if we continue to sit in the passenger seat. So for me, I take a lot of my mentorship from my dad. My dad is a very strong man. He served in the Navy. He, you know, built a construction company from the ground up and had his struggles where it was high and low. So I saw some of the entrepreneurship there. But for me, I don't want to use the word being busy. I would say what I do is I stay blessed. And that's really what it comes down to, whether it's the radio. Okay, it's a way to show individual solutions. Far too often when we're staring at a screen, whether we're watching a video, whether we're watching TV, listening to the radio, or whatever it may or may not be, we always look at the problem. Well, if we're always looking at the problem, then we become the problem. And that's the biggest concern I feel in the nation, or in country-wise, you know, throughout the United States and nationwide, is that we need to own how we show up. And that's really what it comes down to for me, is I have to own how I show up. And I want to make sure that I'm a good role model for my children, that even when the cards are down, I'm going to pick the cards up and get ready to play them. So yeah, I don't sleep as much. But at the same point, I know that I am moving towards where I'm meant to be.
Now, you're known for, at least I think you're known for, empowering others. I mean, when I hear you talk, and when I was doing my research on you, I'm like, okay, there's really not a topic I think I can bring up that you wouldn't have an opinion on. I've heard your other interviews. I mean, honestly, an intelligent opinion. I've heard you in a number of other podcasts. And when I was trying to pin down exactly, okay, where exactly do we want to go with this? And I was thinking, okay, well, when I first spoke to her on the phone, folks, I was like, I got off the phone and I went in there. I found you immediately. And I said, hey, you got to talk to her. I'm telling you what. I mean, I think I found your other, I think I found your twin. And I guess what I'm getting at is you're known, I think, as, especially at least for me, as empowerment. That if I had to give you a single word, I would say, man, you just reek empowerment in the most positive way. And I would say especially towards women. So what advice would you give all these women out there that are writing to me saying, hey, Billy, you know, I'm married to some hooplehead that sits on the couch watching sports all day. I'm out here trying to build a farm. I'm watching your videos and I want to make a chicken tractor on steroids. But all this clown wants to do is block. You would be shocked at how many of those. I don't know. Maybe I'm sure you have a number of people, women especially, reaching out to you saying the very same thing. So for the people out there, I mean, for the women especially, what advice would you give one of those people that are struggling with self-confidence right now?
Well, first, I'm going to circle back to the first point that you're asking in regards to trying to do things on their own or getting frustrated with somebody's lack of action. Weed your own garden. Don't go in and try to weed somebody else's at the end of the day, right? We can only work on what we need to work on within ourselves. And, you know, years back, I had 2 counseling sessions on relationships. Okay. So this is the crazy thing is I was talking to the counselor who was a male because I like strong male energy, right? So when I was talking to him about my relationship, he gave me the perfect diagram of a triangle. You have you in the relationship, you have him in the relationship, and then you have we, right? The team. And you shouldn't be so fixated on going over to the other individual. You need to fill your cup. You need to do the work on yourself. They need to do the work on themselves. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the relationship, each person needs to pour into the relationship. And if the other individual isn't pouring into the relationship, now you have a choice. We always have a choice. Sometimes it's more challenging than others. But it's like, okay, is this the person that is going to help me grow? Or am I the only one that is helping them grow? And then you will find your answer. So sometimes when it comes to like defining the fight, sometimes we're defining what we're fighting for, but we also have to step back and look at what are we letting go? And that's really what it comes down to. So find you first. I think a lot of people try to find themselves inside of individuals instead of going with themselves first on fill the voids in yourself. If it's your spirit, if it's, you know, mentality, emotion, physical, so on and so forth, you have the option to make sure that you're working on yourself. And then once you start doing that and developing into a stronger individual, then yes, add somebody into the mix. But until that is complete, there's always going to be an internal battle within your relationship.
Bam. Told y'all. She's so agile in conversation. I knew I could probably ask you where you stand on the flat earth thing, but we'll keep it on top. you know, as far, okay. So you're doing good night, man. You're doing so much. I mean, whether it's farming, whether it's all these other commitments in terms of balancing, I mean, how do you balance your personal life, your commitments and staying in obviously big, peak physical condition when it comes to, you know, the other job that you have? I mean, how do you balance all these things and also raising your sons?
I don't know if we're ever really truly in balance. I think we get as close as we can, but then sometimes what ends up happening is we end up shifting what needs more. So then we'll shift towards that. So the best way that I can explain it is prime example, I put on MMA promotions. During that time and getting ready for those fights to occur, I'm going to put a little bit more energy into that cup because that event is nearing. Whereas when it's a different profession, okay, it's not crazy season. But in regards to family too, it's making sure that you've got that balance, whether it's supper time, attending events, you know, listening, so on and so forth, there's always going to be peaks and valleys. And I hate to say that, but what I have recognized in my X amount of years, and especially of being an entrepreneur, I did what I needed to do during certain points of my career. I know that when my oldest was young, I worked a lot. I mean, I literally was up at 4:30 in the morning every single day. I would teach close to 7 classes a day, but I needed to make sure that my gym stayed afloat. So whether it was doing sales, training clients, going to the gym, coming home, going back, it was a constant ebb and flow. And I went through some different training with some of the retired Navy SEALs. And I look at the fact, one of the best things that was said to me is, if you say your why is your kids, or if you say your why is your job, whatever that may or may not be, if the structure isn't conducive to fulfilling your why, then you need to change your structure. And I've been changing some of my structure ever since, because I see that my kids are getting older. And there's certain pieces where I look back and I'm like, man, I wish we would have done more of these things. But now I also see how my 18-year-old is evolving, how he chooses to help individuals. There was an older gentleman that was on a scooter that was at the grocery store and severely obese. And he ended up tipping and falling off of the scooter. And my son went up to him and said, I don't know how to help you, because he was a large man. And he goes, just hold the scooter down for me and I can get myself up. So he does this. He helps a gentleman up, picks his groceries, puts him in the scooter for him. In the meantime, he's looking around and he's watching a manager and other individuals laughing. So when I see and hear the story of my son helping individuals without having to be asked, just naturally giving to a person of need, it shows that even though I worked all of those different hours, I'm instilling some of the most important things to them, which is empathy.
Bam. Man, that's a mic drop right there. One of the hardest things to find these days, it seems. Mm-hmm. I want to kind of switch gears a little bit here. I'm struggling to figure out exactly how to ask this, but you know, since when do I care about whether or not I'm offending anybody?
But I don't get offended, man.
Oh, it's not you I'm worried about offending. It's everybody else out there. Okay. You're also a self-defense expert, obviously. And I would imagine that you've probably taught lots and lots of women out there in terms of self-defense. Here's one thing that for the life of me, I cannot understand. Let me back up a little bit and just tell a brief story. We were living in Bonner Springs, Kansas at one particular time. And there was a story. It ended up going up on the news and they even showed it from a Walmart camera. The girl's walking out to the car. A young lady, I don't know, maybe 18, 19 years old, looking on her phone, hits the key fob thing, about to get in her car. This whack job basically snatches her up, throws her in his car, goes over to a lake, rapes and murders her. And I don't even think in that order. I mean, this sick SOB, but anyway. And I'm like, okay, there's so many women I see out there. And I'm bringing this up because I can't think of anything more important in terms of security, where there are women, and I say it all the time. And there was a cop that actually said it was a female police officer that actually said it, that a woman is 10 times more vulnerable than a man, but somehow is 100 times more careless in parking lots, looking at the phone when they should have at least, and I'm throwing a wide net here. I'm not, obviously not all women. So in terms of security, I mean, personal security, when it comes to a woman, I mean, obviously these phones are a big doggone problem, but why don't you give me your thoughts on the posture a woman ought to be taking in these environments these days? Obviously you're not in a crime ridden area, neither am I, but I'm not far from one. And there's a lot of people out there that are worried about security, especially the females. So, I mean, where are women screwing up when it comes to a protective posture? Because if that girl just had not have been looking on her phone or had some awareness of what was around her, this guy would not have snatched her up and threw her in the car.
What I'm going to say is this, Billy, is it's you're seeing more men now that it's also occurring to too. And I'm not being sexist or anything, or, you know, being a coming off as a woman strong to a man. I'm being honest. I think that our society has become extremely weak as a whole, male and female. But when it comes to self-defense, why in the world do we plan and prep our meals? We prepare for our job, school, taking a test, but we don't prepare to defend our lives. That is the biggest problem, first and foremost. When it comes to situational awareness, we have to look at what are the lines of defense. We have become so distracted where this instant gratification, right? When you're talking about the cell phone, oh, I just got a notification. I need to look at it. I'm going to share a story with you. There was a female, a 19-year-old female here in North Dakota. She graduated, or not graduated, she went to UND. And she ended up getting kidnapped, raped, and murdered. But what most people don't recognize is this. There was a different female inside of the store that the assailant was actually following for roughly 20 minutes and had ran into her almost at the end of an aisle end cap. The surveillance camera shows that he didn't have anything to check out with when this female was in line in front of him. He grabbed something quickly, checked out. Whoever called that female, that particular female, when they did, save that person's life. She grabbed her phone prior to leaving the store, was on the phone for about 3 or 4 minutes. He was watching her, kitty corner, ended up getting nervous, left the store, and that's where Drew Shadeen happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. So what I can say in regards to females or anybody who is in a parking lot or, you know, out in public, you need to have your head on a swivel. Pay attention. Now, I went through different trainings. Clearly, yes, I fought professionally for mixed martial arts and boxing. I went to the sheepdog training, which was with some of the retired Navy SEALs. And then I also did some other training out in California. But I'm going to give this to you short and sweet is look at like a stoplight, right? You've got the green, you've got the yellow, you've got the red. Green is like your safe zone. It's go, right? You can let your awareness or your guard down. That is when you're sitting at home. That's the only time that you're literally letting your guard down. Everywhere else, you're going to be more in that yellow. Even if you're with friends, you're out in public, you need to be cognitive of your surroundings, not just walking in the malls, walking in the parking lots, sitting in a restaurant. I mean, you should be making sure that you also know where all the exits are at. What happens if there's a fire? It doesn't have to be an active shooter. It doesn't have to be an assailant. You need to know where other people aren't going to go so that you can get out of there safely. And then clearly, when you hit the red, you've already identified the threat is a threat, whether it's they have a knife, whether they have a gun, or they already grabbed you, right? So clearly your other lines of defense failed if they're at the point where they're grabbing you. So put the cell phones down. Wait until you're in a locked vehicle if you're going to look at it. You know, patience is key, and I think we all need to learn patience, but we also need to teach patience when it comes to texting. The instant gratification kills, right? So we have to put those away. And I tell individuals in my class is this. I said, I've had different experiences that I've had. If I feel like there's somebody sketchy in the parking lot or is sitting way at the end or next to me, wherever they're at, I will memorize their license plate. As soon as I get into the store, I will take that license plate, put it in my note section just in case something happens. And I think one of the other areas that we fail is this. If you see and feel like something is wrong, listen to your intuition. It's 99.9% on point. If you end up screaming, help, whatever, so on and so forth, and you're wrong, so what? Good job. You just cleared your vocal cords. But it's like, be, like I said, pay attention to the details. And it's okay to call the police and tell them that it's a non-emergency. Break down the details, what you're seeing that is suspicious, so that if something does happen, maybe not to you, but to somebody else, they already have a partial report that's already started.
Now, and to your point regarding, hey, it happens to men too. Our son once said, he says, Mom, now keep in mind that we live near the most liberal city in America, and that's Asheville, North Carolina. Our son said, hey, Mom, I'm pretty well convinced that you can beat up about 95% of the women in Asheville and about 98% of the men. So
love it.
Yeah. So the truth of it is around here, I mean, it's hard to know the distinction these days, but yeah, it happens. So no, I'm glad you pointed that out, because it's one of the biggest, every time I see it when I'm out and about, I'm always thinking, man, you know, there's never a time I let my guard down in public, especially in public. And like you said, I love how you had the red, green, and the yellow. And even in the house, I mean, even in this studio, I'm armed and I'm in my house. So, I mean, you know what? I mean, it's just, you know, I got the door shut. You don't know what may happen. But anyway, I'm even armed in my own house. So, I mean, there's always some posture.
But even like you said before, this is something that I've been guilty of, is just trusting yourself. If something feels off, if something seems off, in the past, like a few years ago, I would have just dismissed, like, I'm probably just making that up, or I'm probably not seeing it right. But it's not until the last few years where I'm actually like allowing myself to notice and be okay with not being okay with certain things. So I think trusting ourselves, especially as women, is an important point also.
It is. And I'm glad that you brought up that point, because when we look at the three F's, right? Fight, flight, and freeze. Most people think that the assailant, or if they are attacked, is going to be by somebody that they don't know. In reality, when you look at girls going into college, or their 4 years of college that they're in, 1 in 4 females are either sexually assaulted or raped in those 4 years of college. So when I teach women self-defense, it's very important to me, because I fall into those stats. So when you're talking about listening to your gut, it is crucial. So the freeze response typically happens when trust has already been established with the friendship, so on and so forth, where that monkey brain starts going, where this can't be happening, so on and so forth. That individual wouldn't be trying to harm me. They wouldn't be crossing my boundaries or crossing that line. When it feels wrong, it is wrong, 100%. And I want to circle back to one thing that you said too, Billy, about being armed. And this is something I do talk about in self-defense. If you don't know how to protect it, you shouldn't have it. So when it comes to having a gun, if you're having a knife, you need to make sure that you are also going through training for retention. Now, I went through, I did role playing for some of the police cadets, where we did traffic routine stops. And I was in a vehicle with a male, and they wanted me to role play a domestic dispute in a vehicle. And none of the individuals knew that I had a mixed martial arts background. The head police officer said, "Mariah, I want you to be more aggressive with the female officer. I want to see how she responds." Now, she ended up trying to handcuff me or get me to the vehicle, and it didn't work, right? So I ended up going into a gable grip, pulled my arms in tight. The male officer had to come over and help, where they linked, you know, one arm, and, you know, we're walking basically towards the car. Well, I felt that the male officer was trying to sweep me, which means lifting up his foot, trying to sweep and kick out my leg. I felt that. So I actually swept him. In that position, we all went down to the ground. As I'm hanging on, still linked arms, I look to my left, I look to my right, and I'm like, who is in the worst stance and worst position to take down? I took down the male. As soon as I took down the male, I turned to my back and I snapped the female in my guard, which means I'm laying on my back, wrapping my legs around her. And this is where weapon retention really comes into play. I was able to tap her gun, her fake gun, 3 times, and not once did she move her hand to cover that gun. So after the role playing was all said and done, that was a talking point, was, okay, you know, what do you think that you guys could do better? Well, we should have, you know, tased, or, you know what I'm saying, going through their phases. And the officer goes, "Mariah, what do you think in regards to could have been improved on?" I said, "Never judge a book by its cover. Never assume because I'm a female that I don't know mixed martial arts. Watch in regards to a person's hand placement, how they're gripping. If somebody's gripping like this, they probably don't know mixed martial arts, mm-hmm. right? If their hands are gripped differently, you might want to err a little bit more on the caution side. But I said, I'm not trying to throw a female officer underneath a bus. I'm trying to make a statement to save her life. I tapped your gun 3 times and you never once went to cover it. Now, these are individuals that are going through training. Look at individuals who have concealed to carry, or North Dakota is an open carry state. Make sure that you're not just going to the shooting range. Anybody can fire a gun. But when somebody is trying to assault, attack, so on and so forth, typically your first response is going to be hands up. You might go to your gun, but it all depends. And if you're grabbed in a way that takes you off guard. So if somebody's throwing strikes, whatever that may or may not be, make sure that you understand that your first line of defense is actually defending the weapon that you have on you.
Okay, man, I'm right there with you on every point. Good night. I knew that no matter where we went, you'd have really great answers. So I want to kind of speaking of circling back. There's a lot of us. I mean, life is never going to be in a parabolic fashion. I mean, it's never going to always be in an upward trajectory. So, you know, one of the things in your documentary that I thought was fascinating that I really loved is how you deal with defeat or tough circumstances. So what are maybe some of the toughest defeats and troubles you've had, and how have they contributed? Because it seems like jiu-jitsu, you know, you're going to turn – it seems like you're pretty adept at taking negatives and turning them into positives, or basically using that energy to turn it into something else. I mean, how have you dealt with those things?
I look at – if you want to use the word defeats as lessons, right? I am not going to grow unless I'm challenged. So the biggest thing is I know that when you watch the documentary, when my face was all jacked up, what most people don't recognize is all of the different things that led up to that fight that was not stated in the documentary. So literally 2 weeks before my fight, I ended up relocating because the rent got jacked up at my gym. I wanted to shift very quickly for my clients and my members so that their membership fee wasn't, you know, they were able to use it. So in 7 days, I completely shifted and physically moved my gym 2 weeks from my fight and got it all set up so that people could go and start working out. Also, in addition to one of my cornermen ended up getting a DUI, so he couldn't come corner me. I had to find somebody else to corner me for that fight. On top of that, one of my employees had cancer and was on hospice. And I was able to see her and basically say my goodbyes to her before that fight. She passed away on Monday. My fight was on Friday. So as I'm in Minneapolis cutting weight, I'm missing my employee's funeral because of that other obligation. On top of on Wednesday, that same week, we had severe rain that came through, as clearly you guys know in North Carolina, not to that extent. But I had water coming in through my light fixture in my kitchen where it was dripping all over the floor. So I'm leaving and I'm having all of these different life ambushes occur at once, like the perfect storm. When I'm cutting weight, that's when the documentary crew was there too. So I'm doing radio interviews as I'm cutting weight in an Epsom salt bath. I've got a camera crew with the camera right there. A couple hours before my fight, I have my insurance agent saying, Brian, you have to answer the phone. You have to deal with this, so on and so forth. So everything and anything that could have went wrong. It was the first time where I'm walking up the steps to get ready to go into my fight. I just literally didn't feel like I was there. It was like an out-of-body experience, right? Where my spirit was so defeated or depleted, but my body was still there. I ended up clearly losing that fight. But what I learned in that is I can't always prepare for everything to go right. Sometimes you have to prepare for things to go wrong when it comes to fighting. And for me, I also recognize that I wasn't putting myself first. And I think as women, that is a challenge. What we do is we want to make sure that we're taking care of our significant other, that we're taking care of our kids, all of those different, you know, pieces of the puzzle. But what we don't realize is that when the foundation breaks or if it cracks, whatever that is, the house then becomes broken. So for me, I have had a lot of learning curves in my life. I can tell you that for free. But what I can say is I wouldn't go back and change any of my experiences, whether it was my relationship, injuries, losses from fighting, struggling. I mean, I struggled financially. Most people don't recognize when I had opened up my own gym, I was becoming more known within the community. And I really had to learn how to check my ego. I was at the point where I was in the grocery store and I'm trying to calculate what is this cost of, you know, this meat, you know, and I'm being very cognitive of what I'm putting in my cart. I'm like, okay, Mariah, I think you've got $32.72 in your checking account. Don't go over. I don't want to get up and lay my stuff on the conveyor belt and then all of a sudden say, oh, I don't have enough money and I have to put something back. So I look at that. And when I see the fact of I've financially struggled, I've emotionally struggled, I've physically struggled, God put me in that place of humility so that I could connect with other individuals who may be in that chapter now. Like, how can I use my experiences to help others grow? And I wouldn't be able to connect with people the way that I do today if I hadn't been hit by those storms.
That I think that was, I think that's one of the things that that has hit me the most with you is seeing your mental transformation. It didn't, you didn't always start out just strong. I mean, I think you always were to a certain extent strong mentally, but you can see your transition that you've made in some of the interviews that I've listened to where you've really worked on your mental strength, transformation, whatever you want to call it. What do you think some of the most helpful things have been for you to transform your mind, to get it to where you want it to be?
Well, I can say it's not where I want it to be yet. And I don't know if it ever will be, right? Because once you think that you've climbed and you've hit the top of the mountain, it's a false summit. There's always something more on the other side, right? So for individuals right now who are really trying to improve, we're in pivotal times right now. We've been standing on this rug waiting for the rug to be pulled out from underneath our feet. What I can say is this: stop standing on the rug. You need to take action. Now, you know, there's all the self-help books in the world. You can read all the books in the world, but if you don't apply them, it doesn't matter. Then it's just stuff that you're filling your brain with. So, you know, for me, I listen to, I do meditation. I do breath work. I'll go into, for me, I like binaural sound waves. I do energy work. So I do Reiki also on individuals. So for me, it's like, where is that sacred silence? And don't be afraid to go into that sacred silence. And when you set a goal, you can say, oh, I'm going to set a goal. Yeah, but are you going to commit to it? Right? So you have to commit to your goals, but you have to commit to yourself. And the reality is, check yourself. You have to keep yourself accountable. I remember one day I was running on a treadmill. I was like, all right, I'm going to run 6 miles. I've got this. I'm going to go. At the 3 mile mark, I'm like, my knee's kind of bothering me a little bit. I can walk at an incline. It'll be good. I took my feet to the side of the treadmill or the track itself. And I'm like, but you're going to know. Keep going. So then I made sure that I pushed myself. So we have to have this type of self-talk where we have to get out of the sugar coating mentality of, oh, there's always tomorrow. You're going to wake up 72 and wish that you were back in your 40s on taking care of yourself. Mindset wise, it really all comes down to accountability. You can play the victim or you can play the victor. And Jason Redman, who is a Navy SEAL, wrote the book Overcome. And one of the messages that he had said in there or stated was, you have to get off the X. You can stand on the X, meaning if you've got a problem in front of you, stand on that X, observe it, and then release it. But you can't live there. And if you live there, you're never going to move forward. And he also had, just in regards to attitude, he wrote something where he was shot in the line of, you know, in the line of duty. And there was people coming in as naysayers and just this negative energy into his room. And he wrote a note basically stating, if you're coming in here with negative energy, leave. The only individuals that I want coming in here were like positive mindset. And I know this isn't word for word, but what he had said is, I got injured fighting for a country I love, doing what I love. And I will come back, whatever 100% looks like, and then I'm going to go 20 times further. So again, if you're not going to come in here with a positive attitude, don't come in at all. Thank you, the management. And it was so powerful that we have that control. We just have to make sure that we're fueling it correctly.
I think you said it all right there with, you know, for the longest time with how I grew up. I mean, one of my trigger things was, if you raise your voice to me, I will go from zero to 100 just like that, just based on the abusive environment that I was from. And with the work I did, until I came across the work of Joe Dispenza, I didn't realize that I had the ability to change this. I just thought it was just hardwired into me. Mm-hmm. And because, like you said, because I put in the work, and there was, you know, a number of other things, you know, the way you react to this, or to realize that I didn't have to be so reactive. It was realizing, okay, shoot, you mean I really do have control over this sort of thing? So once I realized that and put in the work, I'm like, okay, now I can position this into a different way. But I would have never done it like you said, if you didn't put in the work. And that's what I love. Once again, going back to your documentary, is I don't know if I'm conjuring the transformation, because obviously they filmed it in a narrow band, but they're showing the old pictures of you. And so seeing those pictures of you with, you know, your ex that is kind of faded out there, I'm making certain assumptions about the person you were in that picture compared to the person you are now. So it seems to me like this transformation that like happens in The Godfather with Michael Corleone, where he goes from a wide-eyed, regular, you know, everyday kid to being the Godfather, you know. Obviously, yours isn't a sinister transformation like that.
I get it.
But I don't know if I'm conjuring this transformation, but it seems like you went, I don't know if I'm just imagining this from the person I'm seeing in the still pictures that are in that documentary, but it just seems like a person who seemed, forgive me if I'm mischaracterizing this, but the transformation just seems astonishing to me, because it seems like you went from a person who was whoever that was in the picture to somebody who could go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with them. So it seems, I mean, that's the transformation. It seems like it, and it obviously took work, and you had to be, it wasn't something you just went into like a zombie. I mean, you obviously consciously made that transformation, but, we got some questions here. I should probably ask you.
You got it.
Do you have any tips for senior? Do you have any tips for senior ladies?
Absolutely. If you are currently doing nothing, start with something. So if you're talking from a physical perspective, I think we try to put the buggy before the horse when it comes to physical fitness. You know, New Year's resolutions are coming around. We don't have to wait till the turn of a year. We can start today. So body weight is great. If you haven't done any lifting, start there and then start incorporating in weight. It's important for women to understand that we are more prone towards osteoporosis and osteopenia. So by strength training, that is going to help improve or decrease the risk of getting that as you get older. But mindset wise, I think we set limits on ourselves, and I don't understand why age really is a determinant of growth. So, you know, our spirit stays young. So why does our mind have to necessarily grow old? We get to the point or a certain age where we don't play anymore. Not one single person said to us, stop playing. No one did. We just naturally do it. We become adults. Now all of a sudden we have to do adulting versus playing. So whether you're in your 70s, whether you're in your 50s, 40s, whatever it may or may not be, play. Do some different things that you haven't done for a long period of time. Get up, dance. The sky literally is the limit. So stop looking at what is the end date, and instead, like, this is the start date.
Yeah, I like that one. Everybody seems to think, yeah, like my dad always used to say, just because I get older doesn't mean I turn in my recliner for a rocker. So, and speaking of dads, by the way, your dad, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, but I swear I thought in that documentary, your dad was Kerry Von Erich. I don't know if you know who that is, but your dad, when he was younger, looks exactly like the pro wrestler Kerry Von Erich. I'm telling you, I had to stop it. I'm like, hold on, Kerry Von Erich's her dad?
Yeah. I got to Google him now, but my, you know, I love both of my parents because it's like Cheech and Chung, or, you know, they're just opposites of each other. My mom is the empath. She's the compassionate one, never played sports, the homemaker, so on and so forth. And my dad is the grit. Let's get it done. He's the backslapper when it comes to hugs, never gives you a full embraced hug. It's like, yep. Yep. But I mean, he's 73 and he's still working construction. We still have beef cattle on the farm, and it's, I'm very blessed with unbelievable parents. And I think that's, you know, really where it came from. And if you are an individual who, was brought up in a, I don't want to say a broken home, because I don't view it necessarily as a broken home, because I'm a single mom. I view it as the fact of loving home, just a little different, and that's okay. Right. So you find different mentors to help guide the way. But man, it's, I just look at today's day and age and look at the fact of being 20 minutes now from my parents. I can go help my dad split wood. I can go hang out with my parents, have great conversation. And, really by the grace of God, I couldn't have been blessed with better people and mentors in my life. And my grandma, who was 102 when she died, is the state of Minnesota's oldest female deer hunter at the age of 96. So you know what? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, I think your parents are going to be around a while. Your dad looked as hard as woodpecker lips in that movie. So I'm sure he's going to be around a while, I suspect. Absolutely. So let me ask you this. What kind of legacy? I mean, like I said, it was never more frustrating to figure out how to box in the questions. And I don't know that I did a good job today.
You're doing amazing. You're doing amazing.
But honestly, with a person that has so many interests, and we can both relate to you, because, I mean, I can talk about, I mean, just on this show, I mean, people are probably like, man, how do you go about talking a religious concept one day, and then the next day you're talking about flat earth topics? I mean, so I'm all over the place, and I know I'm never going to live long enough to examine all these things, but for a person that is an autodidact like yourself, I mean, clearly you are no dummy and it doesn't take a good eye to see it. What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? I mean, with a person that has so many interests, like what you're doing, where do you see yourself, maybe not now, but 5 years from now? I mean, where do you see yourself going, and what kind of legacy would you like to leave?
Well, I think when it comes to legacy, you know, it looks differently clearly for everyone, but what do I want to be known, or how do I want to be known? Literally is that she defined her own fight. That's really what it comes down to, is leaving everything on the table, but then also recognizing the importance of being an acts of service. I think that's an important piece, is that, man, we've all needed a hand, and, you know, somebody's reached back and helped us up. We can't forget the importance of reaching back and helping others rise, whether they're stepping side by side with you or they're moving up that mountain above you. We're just so divided right now as a nation, that it's imperative for us to understand that there's division, whether it's left versus right, whether it's vaccinated versus unvaccinated, you know, religion, church, all these different things. When do we want to look in at the fact and say, you know what, it's our spirit, and recognizing that we are kindred spirits, where what is our legacy? That for me, I want it to be the fact that she was a kind person. She was a real person, and she worked her backside off, not for her own taking in or reaping of benefits, but she worked her butt off to show others that they can do the same.
Okay. I think that's very commendable. Tell me about your nonprofit, Define the Fight.
You got it. And I think I'll be asking some questions after we get off here, like down the road. So one of the key things with Define the Fight, I was utilizing the mantra with adults and I was like, okay, why am I not using this with youth? It's very important for our youth right now to define and find their fight so they can win it. There's different pieces of the puzzle. The first one that we're actually starting with is called the Cultivate to Grow. So teaching kids how to grow their own food, but also how it correlates with their body, right? So how you fuel is how you're going to feel. So getting their hands in the dirt, 25 to 30% of children have never planted a seed. When we look at the fact of childhood obesity in 2020, 158 million children were labeled as obese, and that's 20% of our youth. When we look at 2030, which is about 5 years from now, we're looking at the number increasing to 254 million, which is roughly 60% of our children being obese. And what stems with that? Anxiety, depression, stress, all of these different things. So we're taking them from a further place of healing and getting them really disconnected on the importance of food. The other pieces is I teach a warrior mindset program now for adults, but teaching kids the same, where teaching them how they show up, but how to be an effective leader. What are you currently doing within your life to be a leader? How do you deal and work and navigate through different struggles that you have, coping mechanisms and strategies, and not putting them on pharmaceuticals, right? So it's like the holistic approach to complete healing. So our phase one is the Cultivate to Grow. Our phase two is the mindfulness meditation and, like, again, the effective leadership training, because right now I think a lot of our youth are really missing those pieces. And how great to teach them how to reprogram or unlearn some of the habits they have already instilled into their life so that, okay, whoa, hold on a second. I said something that I probably shouldn't have said, right? So they start checking themselves and then teaching them respect, a level of respect to, you know, teachers, their mentors, their parents, so on and so forth, where we have a job to do. We have a job to make sure that we have strong leaders that are coming up. We have strong youth that know how to take care of themselves, because another phase will be the youth self-defense training. I did teach, I partnered with the Fargo Police Department and worked with at-risk youth to teach them how to defend themselves. So I just feel like right now I want to absorb clearly and put everything into our youth. So it comes to the Cultivate to Grow, the mindfulness and meditation, the leadership training, and then we'll segue into the self-defense. So those, I mean, a lot of components, but that's why we're starting with phase one.
Awesome. How does everybody support you?
If they want to go to our website, which is definethefight.org, we have a different link on there where it says give today. You can click there to donate. We'd appreciate anything and everything. Every little bit helps. And I think we all know that. Life is short. So whether it's an individual who wants to volunteer time or monetary, it's great. We have a new push that's going to be launched that you'll be able to see here shortly on that website, where we will be sending inspiration throughout the U.S. And other countries if individuals, they donate. And when they donate, we write different things and we send it to a friend, a loved one, whoever might be struggling in that moment in time.
Well, tell everybody how they can contact you and listen to all the awesome information you put out.
You got it. So YouTube channel is, I think you've got it on the link here too, is Mariah Prusha. If you look at Mariah Prusha on YouTube, we've got clearly different playbacks. Billy was just on my show on Monday, so his playback link is on there. I posted that yesterday. If you want to go to my website, mariahprusha.com, or easier spelling, definethefight.com is my for-profit. Definethefight.org is my nonprofit. So they are different and they are separate. I do have a warrior mindset training that is coming up in February. I do interviews for that. I want to make sure that individuals are committed, because you can have people start a program and not finish it and think that the program failed them. The reality is they failed themselves because they didn't complete it. So if you're looking for that piece of the pie, you can email me also at info@mariahprusha.com, and then we can connect and kind of go from there.
Well, Mariah, I can't tell you how awesome it was to have you on the show. I can't wait to get you back another time and talk about the whole other constellation of your life that we didn't even begin to touch yet. Because, folks, when I say this lady wears I just can't even get over how many hats she wears and how many accomplishments she has. And we didn't even touch any of them. And, of course, my computer crashes when I'm trying to read the full extent of her bio, which in and of itself would probably take a couple of minutes because that's how accomplished she is in so many different things. You've been a fantastic guest, and I can't thank you enough for coming. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you both and everything that you guys are doing for individuals in North Carolina and beyond. I mean, it's great that you guys are servants, and I appreciate both of you.
Well, we're doing the best we can. And I want to thank the audience out there. Look, I know our biggest massive audience is definitely in the podcast space, but I want to thank everybody that comes out here and checks us out live. I mean, we'll get to your questions. I'm sorry I didn't feel enough of them right here. We just kind of had her all to ourselves tonight. So sorry for not sharing, y'all. But until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
I'm talking saucy. All they wanna build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They wanna push me to the center like a cell. They wanna spill me, but the center of the next is me. They want me to battle, but I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I will never bow down, cause I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. They want me to battle, but I'm a warrior.